Good morning. Happy Sabbath. As Charles always says, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. I hope you all had a good week, a good one full of easy and good choices. Does anybody know, on the average, how many choices we make every day? It's a lot. So last year, CNBC, they published an article by Health and Wellness stating that humans have over 35,000 choices that they make every day. 35,000. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot to me. And honestly, I think there's more because with my ADHD brain, there's chitter-chatter going on all the time, choices everywhere. But I have come to realize that the choices we make are much more important than I thought. And I've heard a saying once, and I use it quite often in my life when myself or someone else is in a situation, and it says that we are where we are because of the choices we make. But better than that, we are who we are because of the choices we make. Every moment from the time we wake up, we make choices. Some are small, like push the snooze button on that alarm for the third time, or not. What we wear, what we eat, what direction we will take when we're driving. That one is usually whether we're in a hurry or not. Go the speed limit. That's also whether we want to go fast or not. Some are good choices. Eating fruit instead of that chocolate cake. Donating money to the homeless instead of buying that pair of shoes that you've been eyeing for about a month now. Of course, there's bad choices too, like speaking about someone in an unflattering way or choosing to be envious of someone else instead of counting your own blessings. But the most important choice we have is how we're going to live for God. God has placed before every one of us two paths, one that leads to life and one that leads to death. The question is, and the choice we need to choose, is which one of those will we choose? God gave us the freedom to choose. From the very beginning, God created humans with a choice. Sometimes those choices affect people in a negative way, and sometimes they affect people in a positive way, but they also shape our characters. So I'm going to start in Genesis. Genesis 2:16. But the Lord warned him, "You may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." So God gave Adam and Eve a command. Adam and Eve had to make a choice. Obey God or eat the fruit. Let's continue in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and she ate. So Eve took that free will or choice God had given her, and she chose to serve herself, her own needs, her own wants, instead of making the choice to serve and obey God. The second part of that verse, the second part of verse 6 says, "She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then they both of their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Little did they know, that was one of the biggest, most important choices Adam and Eve could make in their entire existence. And they made the wrong choice. That choice has affected the entire human race, and not in a good way. Imagine if Adam and Eve had made the right choice, what a different world we would be living in. And we also know that those choices bring consequences. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hosea 8:7, they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. And number 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. Ellen White warned us in Steps to Christ, every sinful indulgence strengthens the power of evil and weakens the soul. And in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 53, she says, one wrong step makes the next easier. We must always try to stop and listen for that small, still voice that the Holy Spirit is guiding us to make the right choices. Another example in the Bible of the freedom to choose is in the book of Daniel. Daniel, he was taken from his home to live in a culture that did not honor God, so he had some important choices to make as well. Daniel's first big choice was about what to put into his body. Daniel 1:3. Then the king ordered his chief of staff to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, good-looking young men, he said. Make sure that they're well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them daily rations of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were four of the young men chosen from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat unacceptable foods. But he responded, I am afraid for the Lord my king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you had become pale compared to the other youths your age, I am afraid he will have me beheaded. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the others. All the other young men who were eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier, better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of food and wine provided for the others. Daniel made the right choice. God in his wisdom has provided the best foods for our nourishment that our bodies may be kept in health and used in faithful service to him. Later, Daniel faced another choice, an even harder one. A law had been passed saying no one could pray except to the king. Daniel knew the law, but he also knew his God. He chose prayer over popularity and obedience over safety, even if it meant the lion's den. Daniel did not change his habit of praying and trusting in God. And because of Daniel's decisions, God shut the lion's mouth and showed the entire kingdom his God is a true and living God. This is a true testament of man who made the right choices and lived for his life for God, regardless of the consequences. God clearly reward his faithfulness with good health and protection. Daniel's choices affected the people around him in a positive way. Daniel's trust in God to guide his decisions, and through those choices, he showed the world who the true God is. And I'm sure many of those people made the decision to follow Daniel's God instead of the empty idols they had been worshiping. And the truth is, our choices are revealing something about the same God we serve as well. What do my choices reveal about the God I claim to serve? Am I allowing him to guide the decisions I make? And are those decisions shaping my character into the character that God desires for me? In Steps of Christ, Ellen White writes, the government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon blind submission and unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now and let us reason together is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. God does not force will of his creatures. He cannot accept a homage that is not willing and intellectually given. A mere forced submission would prevent all real development of mind and character. It would make a man a mere automation. Such is not the purpose of the Creator. He desires that man, the crowning work of his creative power, shall reach the highest possible development. He sets before us the height of blessing to which he desires to bring us through his grace. He invites us to give ourselves to him, that he may work his will in us. It remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from the bondage of sin to share the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Again, God does not force the will or judgment of any. He takes no pleasure in slavish obedience. That's Steps to Christ, page 43. And she also says in the Great Controversy, it is not God's purpose to compel men to give up their unbelief. He leaves them free to choose whom they will serve. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Another story is the parable of the three servants, and it is a powerful example of the choices we make with the blessings that God gives us. The decisions we make with those blessings shape our character, and those choices lead to either God's favor or God's consequences. As we read this passage, remember, Jesus is revealing an important truth. That what we choose to do with what God has entrusted to us not only influences our future, but it also shapes the character that we carry into eternity. Starting in Matthew 25:14, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to the abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags also went to work, and he earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has placed before us 2 paths. One leads to life and one leads to death. Some choices that we make have a direct effect on our salvation and our eternal life. The talents and blessings that God gives us, He doesn't want us to hide under the dirt. He wants us to multiply them and share them with others so we can show them the glory of God. Don't we all want to hear, Well done, my good and faithful servant? Galatians 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Ellen White says about character, character is not the result of an accident. It is not due to special favors or endowments of providence. It is the result of self-discipline, of submission of the will of God. That's from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 248. She also says, the character is revealed not by occasional good deeds and occasional misdeeds, but by the tendency of the habitual words and acts. Steps to Christ, page 57. And also, by our daily habits of right doing, we are forming characters for eternity. That's from the Testimonies of Church, page 657. We humans are sinful, and we don't always make the right choice. But praise God, our failures are not final. Praise God, who made the way for our salvation through the death of his Son on the cross. And praise God for his mercy and grace when it comes, when we choose wrong. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, he says in Isaiah 1:18. John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Micah 7:18 through 19 says, Who is like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions of the remnant of his heritage, He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in mercy, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. Ellen White also writes in Steps to Christ, if you give yourself to him and accept him as your Savior, then sinful as your life may have been, for his sake you are counted righteous. So God will always forgive us, even though we choose wrong. It is our carnal nature, unfortunately, that we do choose wrong choices. But we can, however, ask the Lord to guide us in making the right decision. Joshua 24:15 says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All those 35,000 choices we make every day, even the little ones, are important. Every act, every thought is a seed which will bring forth a harvest, either good or evil. Ellen writes in Christ's Object Lessons, page 84. So, let's not push that snooze button. Choose to get right up and start your day in praise to God. When you choose what to wear, make it something you would wear when you first meet Jesus. Choose to be kind and generous to those less fortunate. Don't hurry through life. Choose to slow down and be still and listen to God's guidance. Just as the Lord reminds us in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Again, today God places before us two paths. And we have to choose obedience or rebellion. Life or death, Christ or ourselves. God is calling us to choose. If you don't choose, you've chosen. But he's asking us to choose faith instead of fear. He's asking us to choose obedience instead of excuses. He's asking us to choose Christ instead of comfort. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let's pray and thank the Lord. Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us the freedom to choose. We're so sorry sometimes our choices are not the right ones. But we do ask you to help us. Help us to slow down and listen to your voice. Give us the wisdom to choose what is right, even when it's not easy. Help us to surrender our will to yours. We thank you so much for your mercy when we fall and your strength to help us stand. Today, we choose eternal life with you. We thank you. We praise your holy name. And we love you most of all. Amen.